Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Watch your language. Your language reveals who you are. When it comes to behavior, your language reveals your paradigm, how you feel, think, and act toward yourself, others, the world, and authority. The same is true for everyone you meet. Discussion and dialogue are two totally different political systems. Discussion is objective, where the father, what you are told, has the final say, while dialogue is subjective, where your flesh, how you feel, has the final say. While you have both discussion and dialogue, by being formed from the dust of the ground, the flesh and the world that stimulates it associated with dialogue, and by the breath of God being a living soul, knowing right from wrong from being told associated with discussion. When it comes to behavior, which one you turn to that which is associated with the dust of the ground, dialogue, or that which is associated with the breath of God, discussion, determines whether you are a conservative or a liberal, whether you are seeking after righteousness, doing right and not wrong according to what you are told, or sensuousness, lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates. In discussion, the Father has the final say, because I said so, it is written, nevertheless, that is God is God, associated with top-down authority, with you knowing right from wrong from being told. This same pattern of thinking paradigm applies to traditional thinking parents, educators, employers, legislators, leaders, judges, doctors, sheriffs, ministers, etc. While they might be wrong, the issue of being right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth still remains. While in dialogue you have the final say, associated with your feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating, your I feel and I think making you God, with you knowing right from wrong from your own sense experience. This same pattern of thinking applies to liberal thinking parents, educators, known as facilitators of change, employers, legislators, leaders, judges, doctors, sheriffs, ministers, etc., where anyone refusing to dialogue when it comes to behavior insisting upon discussion, based upon established commands, rules, facts, and truth instead is to be converted, participate, or be silenced, censored, and rejected or cast out. When they say you can share anything you want and not be judged, condemned, or cast out, they lie, because if you tell others how they are to behave according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, you will be judged, condemned, and cast out. No true discussion allowed here. That is why when you talk to anyone who has participated in the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, let's be positive and not negative meeting, which is now almost all there is, you can no longer communicate with them, they are no longer able to discuss issues with you, only being able to dialogue, requiring you to do the same. Our ability to reason comes from God, either using it to do his will, from being told, discussion, or using it to justify our flesh, dialogue. Justifying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, in disobedience to God, called sin. Which one we use when it comes to behavior determines who we serve, either God or the flesh and the world that stimulates it. When it comes to behavior, which one you turn to, discussion or dialogue, determines your political system, either turning to discussion where you are accountable to the one above, which takes on the form of doing or being right according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, as in old school, doing what you are told or being corrected and are chastened for disobeying, thus having a guilty conscience for doing wrong leading to repentance, with you doing right from then on, or if you, refusing to repent, continue to disobey, being judged, condemned, and or cast out, or turning to dialogue instead where you are only accountable to that which is below, which takes on the form of doing what you want in response to the current situation and or object, people, or person present, doing what you feel like doing in the moment, known as stimulus response. The meaning of change as used today does not mean by persuasion, based upon established commands, rules, facts, and truth, changing from one position to another, but rapidly changing in response to the current situation, based upon your feelings of the moment that the environment is stimulating, approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, which includes the mental pain of missing out on pleasure, following after, supporting, defending, praising, worshiping, even dying for those who justify pleasure, lust, known as facilitators of change, rejecting those who insist everyone doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth that get in the way of lust. True science, which is based upon discussion, known facts, is now replaced with so-called science, which is based upon dialogue, the opinions of men being tossed back and forth until there is a consensus, a feeling of oneness, where everyone has compromised in order to have group hug, the approval of man, in order for man to sin without having a guilty conscience, with everyone's affirmation no longer being judged, condemned, and cast out. Thomas Kuhn, explaining his paradigm shift concept of pre- and post-paradigm periods, where facts-based scientists are replaced with feelings-based scientists, quoting Max Planck. Thomas Kuhn, a new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die, and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it. Whereupon the man who continues to resist after his whole profession has been converted is ipso facto ceased to be a scientist. Thomas Kuhn, the structure of scientific revolution. Lust for pleasure, for dopamine is the drive of our conversation with ourself. Lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint goes hand in hand with dialogue. When we make pleasure, called the affective domain, our focus of attention, our purpose in life, it becomes our agenda to change or augment the environment in order to have more of it, which requires the removal of anyone who gets in the way. Since the father, discussion is not subject to the child, but rather the child is subject to the father. In order for the child to become free from the restraint of the father, discussion, the father, when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the environment. It is only then that the child, that is dialogue, can have his way, with everyone enjoy whatever in the environment is stimulating dopamine, without the father getting in the way. This is important to grasp since it is the agenda of the so-called New World Order. Whoever controls our means of communication controls the outcome. Anyone who has been in a consensus, be positive, not negative meeting will understand the significance of this explanation. When it comes to behavior, with the father discussion, that is restraint being negative, and the child dialogue, that is lust for pleasure being positive. Since discussion is not subject to dialogue, since the father is not subject to the child, but rather dialogue is subject to discussion, that is the child is subject to the father. In order for dialogue to become free from the restraint of discussion, in order for the child to be free from the father's authority, discussion, when it comes to behavior, the father, when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the environment. It is only then that dialogue, the child, can have his way, with everyone enjoying whatever in the environment is stimulating dopamine, without discussion, the father, getting in the way. From the garden in Eden to Judgment Day, the conflict has been the same. The child either being subject to discussion, doing what the father says, or subject to dialogue, doing what he wants, lusting after dopamine, hating restraint, striking out against anyone taking or threatening to take his drug away. While our earthly father is like the heavenly father, telling us what is right behavior and what is wrong, holding us accountable to what we have been told, he is being of the flesh, susceptible to the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, to that which is of the world, known as stimulus response, while the heavenly father, who is spirit, is not. While our earthly father, turning to the flesh when it comes to behavior, is wrong. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The heavenly father is always right. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1 verse 17. Romans 7 verses 14 to 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Luke 9 verses 23 to 26, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged, if he gain the whole world, and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. The message is, 1. Deny your lust for dopamine. 2. Endure the rejection of others for not affirming their lust for dopamine. And 3. Follow the Lord, doing the Father's will. George Hegel. When a man has finally reached the point where he does not think he knows it better than others, that is when he has become indifferent to what they have done badly, and he is interested only in what they have done right, then peace and affirmation have come to him. George Hegel in Carl Friedrich, The Philosophy of Hegel. This is why when it comes to behavior I always say right and not wrong, since it is easy to leave out wrong when it comes to doing what we want. Hegel wrote, "The child, contrary to appearance, is the absolute, the rationality of the relationship. He is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality which produces itself once again as such." George Hegel, System of Ethical Life, and I add, to make it clear, once he is liberated from the Father's authority to become as he was before the Father's first command, rule, fact, or truth came into his life, separating him from his self, his lust for pleasure and the world that stimulates it, making him of and for self and the world only, which dialogue, when applied to behavior, does. Irvin Laszlo, the originator and promoter of climate change, explaining the consensus process, where, through the use of dialogue in a group setting, the Father's authority is excluded in establishing rules, policy, and law, thus liberating the sensation of dopamine, that is lust for pleasure, in the participants, negating the Father's authority in the participants, directly affecting, that is, justifying their carnal actions in the process, wrote Irvin Laszlo, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making, our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests, transforming public consensus into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. Irvin Laszlo, A Strategy for the Future, The System's Approach to World Order. Proverbs 16 verse 5, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." No matter how many people join you on the pathway to destruction, it is still the pathway to destruction. When it comes to behavior, when you have been told what you can and cannot do or say, and you hear the words, "I feel," and "I think," you are in the world of lust for dopamine, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life being justified. The soul knows from being told, the flesh by sense experience. Discussion. "I know because I have been told" supports the Father's authority. Doing right and not wrong according to have been told, either or, is the issue at hand. Dialogue. "I feel" and "I think," on the other hand, supports the child's carnal nature, where along the spectrum of change, based upon "I like" to "I don't like" and everything in between and beyond, is the issue at hand. When it comes to behavior, when you go to discussion, not so-called discussion, which is established upon dialogue and therefore is only an opinion, the Father has the final say, requiring the child to humble his self, that is, deny his lust for dopamine, and do right and not wrong according to what he has been told. When you go to dialogue, dopamine, the child has the final say, doing what he wants in the moment without restraint, approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, which includes the mental pain that comes with missing out on pleasure, dopamine. When it comes to behavior, those of and for the world turn to dialogue in order, as in New World Order, to justify their own lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, making behavior subject to stimulus response, that which is only of the world. On the other hand, those who seek to do the Father's will turn to discussion as their means of communication, requiring them to do right and not wrong according to what they have been told. To those of and for the world being told, the Father's authority, established commands, rules, facts, and truth is associated with spirit, thus is not subject to the flesh, is not subject to the world, is not subject to stimulates response, is not subject or adaptable to change according to man's felt needs or lusts of the moment, and therefore is to be rejected if man it to become his self, thinking and acting according to his own nature, lusting after pleasure and hating restraint, that is hating missing out on pleasure. If spirit considered, it is labeled a phenomena, a feature of nature not yet identified. When it comes to behavior, which one you choose, discussion or dialogue defines your state of mind, your paradigm, where or who you are looking to in order to deal with the issues and crisis of life. One requires faith in the one who is above, that is above sense experience, above the impulses and urges of the moment that the world stimulates, while the other depends upon sense experience, upon that which is only of the world. Merging the two only creates confusion, the merging of facts and feelings, making feelings, opinion, theory a fact, needing to be trusted and acted upon, negating faith, the Father's authority, being told, making established commands, rules, facts, and truth only in opinion, no longer absolute, no longer to be accepted as is and obeyed, making them ever subject to change, subject to stimulus response instead of absolutes which get in the way of worldly peace and socialist harmony, dopamine, lust for pleasure, and the lust for the affirmation of men. When it comes to behavior, the more you focus upon dialogue, justify the person's lust for pleasure, lust for dopamine, the greater his resentment and hatred toward restraint will become. Just leaving out the Father's authority when dealing with behavior, removing accountability for one's behavior, based upon being told, accomplishes the deed. Colossians 3 verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The Greek word for deeds is praxis. Praxis is the practice or action of leaving the Father's authority out when it comes to behavior, in other words, not recognizing accountability to God for one's thoughts and actions. Antonio Gramsci, the philosophy of praxis is the absolute secularization of thought, an absolute humanism of history. Antonio Gramsci, selections from the Prison Notebooks. In praxis, you do not have to attack the Father, thus giving him recognition. All you have to do is leave what he says out and he becomes irrelevant, something to be removed from the environment when he shows up and gets in the way. That is why you are asked to be positive and not negative in meetings, asked to leave the Father's authority out of the conversation, other than to criticize it, call critical theory, critical criticism, critical race theory, critical thinking, etc. The name for the national test for teachers is praxis. Benjamin Bloom. We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative, and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all time and places. Benjamin Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1, Cognitive Domain. As mentioned before, all educators are certified, and schools accredited today based upon their use of what are known as Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in the classroom. In his first taxonomy, quoted above, Bloom simply paraphrased Marxist ideology, as explained by Friedrich Engels. Friedrich Engels, in the eyes of the dialectic philosophy, nothing is established for all times, nothing is absolute or sacred. When it comes to behavior, when you use dialogue in the classroom, making the students feeling their affective domain, their lust for dopamine, the curriculum, you negate the Father's authority, you can only have one or the other. Making the students lust for pleasure, which includes their lust for approval of one another, the foundation from which to reason, justifying their natural inclination to hate the Father's authority for getting in the way, making lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, stimulus response, only that which is of the world, Marxism the outcome. Colossians 2 verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Ephesians 5 verses 5 to 7, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Martin Luther. I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt. Luther's Works, Volume 1, The Christian in Society, page 207. Parents today are sending their children off to colleges and universities, including Christian. They believe reflect their values, not knowing professors are required to use Bloom's taxonomies in the development of their curriculum or syllabi, liberating their children from the father's authority system in the process. Traditional-minded professors are labeled resistors of change, arrogant, Mayhew, Lewis B., arrogance on campus, not a team player, etc., and fear losing and do lose their job if they do not participate. Jacob's publication, Changing Values in College, was a catalyst for the use of the affective domain in education, the student's natural inclination to lust, being used in the classroom in order to liberate them from doing the father's will. College being many students' first life experience out from under their parents' authority makes it easy for them to do their thing, especially when the college environment justifies it. Perhaps one of the most dramatic events highlighting the need for progress in the affective domain was the publication of Jacob's Changing Values in College, 1957. Book 2, Affective Domain, Benjamin S. Bloom, et al. There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain. Jeremiah 6 verse 16, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. You may not have realized it, but your why. In response to your father's command that got in the way of your lust, your heart's desire, your self-interest of the moment, your wanting to go out and spend time with your new friends, whose thoughts and actions you knew were contrary to your father's principles, was your effort to draw the father into dialogue, into saying, I feel and I think, where you could then do what you wanted, mess around with your new friends, and not be punished. It would then be, if he went into dialogue with you, just his opinion which is different than yours, everyone is entitled to their opinion. Since there is no wrong in dialogue or in an opinion, you could do wrong with your new friends without being judged, condemned, and or cast out if he did not find out, and if he finds out it did not matter anyway, his opinion did not count, he cannot reprimand you, allowing you to do wrong without having a guilty conscience. But when the father said, Because I said so, or in God's case it is written, with threat of punishment for disobeying, for doing your will instead, he retained his authority resulting in your hope for. Dialogue with the father, that is doing what you want being cut off. Thus, your response to the father, you're being unreasonable. You don't understand is in harmony with Thomas Kuhn since your reasoning and understanding is based upon your feelings. Your lusts of the moment not upon doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth. Being told. The soul knows from being told. The flesh from sense experience. Thus, the motto of those of and for the world. When, in a meeting or in the classroom, you are asked to be positive and not negative, you are being pressured out of fear of being rejected by the group, out of your lust for the approval of others, into making your behavior subject to dialogue, where your lust for pleasure and resentment toward restraint has the final say instead of being subject to discussion, where the father has the final say. Anyone telling others how to behave according to what the father says in a be positive, not negative environment, insisting everyone do what he says, will feel the sensation of being tossed out a window for preaching absolutes, for causing division, for not being a team player, for being divisive, hateful, maladjusted, a lower order thinker, a fascist, unadaptable to change, a resistor of change, etc. When it comes to behavior, your participation, which requires you to replace what the father says with your and the other people's feelings of the moment, liberates you and them from the father's authority system, allowing you to be yourself and them to be their self, thinking and acting according to your carnal nature and them according to their carnal nature, thinking and acting according to the impulses and urges of the moment, that the environment is stimulating doing what you and they want to do instead. In that environment, anyone insisting upon discussion, insisting upon everyone doing what the father says is perceived as being argumentative, needing to go with the process, get along with the group, be tolerant of ambiguity, tolerant of deviance, tolerant of immorality, we are talking about behavior after all, or be silenced, censored, and or removed, that is be martyred for the sake of the group, for the sake of worldly peace and socialist harmony. Martyr being the Greek word for witness. It is an absolute. Anyone insisting upon discussion, what the father says, being told, in an environment insisting upon dialogue, self-interest, stimulus response, is going to be martyred. It is the nature of the beast. Literally, kindergarten was developed by socialists in order for children to experience a learning environment without being told. This is the dialectic pathway, the broad pathway of humanism, of socialism in any form, be it fascist, communist, globalist, Marxist, where the child's carnal nature, stimulus response, change rules over and therefore against the father's authority, doing what you want rules over and therefore against doing what you are told, where your lust for pleasure rules over and therefore against your having to humble, die to, capitulate yourself, deny your lusts in order to do right and not wrong. According to the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth. Fascism is included because the father's authority is negated, in the home as well as in the church. More than half the girls came back from the Nazi youth camps pregnant. As mentioned earlier, it is not that dialogue in and of itself is evil. As long as you use it, your I like and your I don't like and everything in between and beyond, where you have been given the right to think and act upon that which you have been told you can have or do, you are justified in its use, but the moment you use it regarding what or take it where you have been told you cannot have or what you cannot do, it manifests itself as lust, establishing your carnal nature over and therefore against the Father's authority, making you, before God, a sinner. Likewise, it is not that discussion in and of itself will save you. It is that without it you will not and cannot hear from the Father, and thus, when it comes to God, because of your disobedience you cannot recognize your need for a Savior, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, having used dialogue where you were not supposed to, justifying your lust, searing your conscience. While Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took on the form of a man, was able to dialogue, that is, share His opinion, His feelings and thoughts of the moment, He did not, always discussing with His Father what to do next, and being led by the Holy Spirit doing the Father's will instead, we, having used dialogue to justify ourself, our behavior, our lusts, our disobedience, have sinned by those of and for the world, discovering through dialogue what it is you are lusting after, what you are coveting, and offering to help you actualize it, make it a part of your life, thereby gaining your trust in your perception of them. They have you, your best interest, your self-interest in mind. They are able to own you, using you as human resource to satisfy their lusts, casting you aside when you no longer satisfy their lusts or get in their way, doing to you what you did to the Father, for getting in your way, your worth to them and the Father's worth to you being measured upon the pleasures of the moment you provide them and the Father provided you in the present, the eternal present, or you have the potential of providing them or the Father having the potential of providing you in the future, not upon your soul, where you will spend eternity after death, resulting in the issue of righteousness, doing the Father's will being replaced with sensuousness, doing your will instead, thereby negating righteousness as the issue of life and death. No conservative organization or institution I know of today that is politically involved makes righteousness, God's definition of righteousness, their foundation of thought, their platform, giving it lip service at the most in order to draw more people and therefore cash into supporting their cause. When you use dialogue to establish right and wrong behavior, you make yourself subject to the world, doing what you want that the world is stimulating, making you subject to stimulus response, not to the Father, doing what you have been told. While the conservative person does not know the difference between discussion and dialogue, the liberal does, using it to beguile the conservative in order to create a world which not only justifies his lusts but satisfies, augments his lusts as well. The apostate church, the dialectic church, when it comes to the Word of God, uses dialogue, making the Word of God subject to men's opinion, therefore subject to justifying their lusts, making it antithetical to the gospel message, making themselves and all who follow after them an enemy of God. James 4 verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hebrews 10 verse 25 instructs us on the importance of fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. This verse or portion of a verse is used to pressure those who have left the church because of its apostasy, because of its use of dialogue, that is dialectic reasoning, to grow the church to return. They do not share the rest of the verse and the verses following, verses 26, 27, for obvious reasons. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You cannot grow the church if you adhere to these verses. You cannot use dialogue, man's opinion, establishing man as being equal with God, making man greater than God when it comes to his word. These verses expose those who do so as wolves in sheepskin, as facilitators of change. Jeremiah 17 verses 5 and 7, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and mocketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. While those of and for the world seek after lust, blaming those who seek after God, doing the Father's will as being the source of division amongst men and the cause of war, war is actually the result of man's lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, their rejection of the Father's authority. When it comes to behavior, which one you turn to man, dialogue, or to God, discussion, to either justify lust or to repent determines where you will spend eternity. Democracy, by its very nature, rejects the Father's authority, that is, having to do right and not wrong from being told. John Dewey, "A democratic society repudiates the principle of external authority. God is the source of corruption in individuals." John Dewey, Democracy and Education. Abraham Maslow, "In a democratic society, a patriarchal culture should make us depressed instead of glad. A patriarchal culture is an argument against the higher possibilities of human nature, of self-actualization. In our democratic society, any enterprise, any individual has its obligations to the whole." Abraham Maslow, Maslow on Management. Norman Brown, "Human consciousness can be liberated from the parental complex only by being liberated from its cultural derivatives, the paternalistic state and the patriarchal God." Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, "The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History." "There is no father's authority in dialogue, in what is called dialectic reasoning, where you reason from your own carnal nature, from your lusts of the moment, that the world is stimulating instead of from what you have been told." Brown continued, "By dialectic, I mean an activity of consciousness, struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formal logical law of contradiction." All Brown is saying is, "I'm trying to figure out how I can get around what my parents just told me to do." Eric from "We Are Proud" that in his conduct of life, man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is to give up God. Eric from "Escape from Freedom." Bloom's Taxonomies states that Eric Fromm's ideology is its Weltanschauung, that is its worldview. In dialectic reasoning, all who participate are working to get around and thereby negate the Father's authority so they can do what they want, that is, lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, without being judged, condemned, and cast out. Peace in the mind of those of and for the world is being able to sin or lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, having the approval, that is the affirmation, consensus of men. Consent for man makes sin right, thus negates judgment, condemnation, being cast out for sinning. It is the Father who authors commands, rules, facts, and truth to be accepted as is by faith, and obeyed or applied and enforces them. Without the Father, there is no being told what is right and what is wrong behavior. Without being told, there is no being held accountable for your behavior. In other words, without the Father's authority system, there is no law, known as rule of law. Without law, there is no doing wrong or disobedience. Without disobedience, there is no sin. Without sin, there is no need of a Savior. It is in the collective that man's nature is justified. Class consciousness is recognizing the children's carnal nature, the students' lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint in the classroom, making it and therefore them equal with the Father and his authority, thereby establishing their carnal nature, their lust for dopamine, their self over and therefore against the Father and his authority, since they cannot be equal. It is either the one above or the many below, with the class justifying their self, their lusts becoming one according to their carnal nature. Romans 10 verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Rejecting the law, thus rejecting God's plan of salvation, they face the wrath of God after death. Romans 5 verses 8 to 10, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Whoever denies the Father, that is law, denies the Son, that is their need of a Savior, who, by his shed blood on the cross, redeemed us from his Father's wrath upon us for our disobedience. 1 John 2 verse 22, he is Antichrist, that deneath the Father and the Son. In dialectic reasoning, that is in the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, there is no Father's authority. Therefore there is no established law, therefore there is no disobedience, therefore there is no sin, therefore there is no need of a Savior. Therefore, the object of dialectic reasoning is to remove the Father, thus removing the Father's authority, removing law, removing judgment, condemnation, and being cast out. For sinning man can sin without having a guilty conscience. He can sin with impunity, with men's, the group's, approval. Karl Marx. Laws must not fetter human life, but yield to it. They must change as the needs and capacities of the people change. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. In other words, as a person's lusts change, laws must be adaptable to change. This requires rejection of the Father's authority. Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. While the heavenly Father is holy and the earthly father is born into sin, both have the same authority system, preaching commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaching facts and truth to be accepted as is, at first at least by faith, and applied, discussing with those under his authority any questions they might have regarding his commands, rules, facts, and truth, providing he deems it necessary, has time, those under his authority are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking his authority, 2. Rewarding those who do right and obey, 3. Correcting and or chastening those who do wrong and or disobey, that they might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate their self, in order to do right and not wrong according to the established commands, rules, facts, and truth they have been taught or have been told. That is, in order to do the Father's will. And 4. Casting out, expels, or grounds those who question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack his authority, which retrains the Father's authority system in the child's or man's thoughts, directing, affecting his actions, resulting in the those under the Father's authority knowing right from wrong, from being told, especially when it comes to behavior. The gospel message is all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, doing the Father's will, that is, doing what he was told, even dying on a cross, by his shed blood covering our sins, propitiation. Doing so in obedience to the Father, Matthew 26 verse 42, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Asking all to follow him, doing the Father's will as he leads, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Max Horkheimer. Protestantism was the strongest force in the extension of cold rational individualism. Max Horkheimer, Reasoning and Self-Preservation. Protestantism, the priesthood of all believers, doing your best as unto the Lord, putting no man between you and the Lord, was recognized by the Marxist Max Horkheimer as the source of individualism, under God, needing to be negated if globalism was to become a reality. He recognized that, unlike the Catholic Church, cults, and all forms of socialisms, local, national, and global, which use group dynamics to control the people, there is no theocracy, that is, man taking up arms to defend the faith in and of this world. John 18 verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." You can only defend the flesh. Faith as a shield defends you, that is your soul. You cannot defend faith. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 14 to 18. Protestantism liberates the individual from groupthink. The believer might be in the group, but the group is not in him, that is, he, now under the Father's authority, is no longer of the group, making him able to come out of the group, that is, he able to stand alone with the Lord, when and if the fellowship goes wrong, that is, through dialogue if it goes counter to the Word of God. It was when Luther, in his effort to become a good Catholic, discovered Catholicism was based upon Aristotelian ethics, where in Gnostic form men's opinions were used to redefine the Word of God, making it more understandable to man and adaptable to change. That which is below corresponds to that which is above, and that which is above corresponds to that which is below, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing. The Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus, translated by Dennis W. Hawk. The Hermetic tradition was both moderate and flexible, offering a tolerant philosophical religion, a religion of the omnipresent mind, a purified perception of God, the cosmos, and the self, and much positive encouragement for the spiritual seeker, all of which the student could take anywhere. Tobias Charton, the Golden Builders, Alchemists, Rosicrucians, and the First Freemasons. Even Martin Luther understood the use of Gnostic writings, Aristotelian philosophy, in the corrupting of the church. Luther wrote, "Aristotle condemns us. In short, philosophers know nothing about God the Creator and man made of a lump of earth." Augustine says that he found all things in the Platonic books except this one thing, that the Word was made flesh. But Hermes Trismegistus composed that book for Plato. That book reached Augustine and he was deceived by its persuasion. Footnote concerning Trismegistus, an Egypto-Hellenic theologian. Augustine has an extensive discussion of Trismegistus in The City of God, 8:22-27. Luther's works, volume 34, Career of the Reformer, 4, page 143, the use of Aristotle, create a healthy environment and you can create a healthy person. That is, stimulus response was what the Protestant Reformation rejected. Nothing in the creation can change a man's heart. Only the work of Christ, and Christ alone, can change a man's heart. Jürgen Habermas, if the restoring of life of the world is to be conceived in terms of the Christian revelation, then Marx must collapse into a bottomless abyss. Jürgen Habermas, Theory and Practice. Marxists know of God's judgment upon them for their sins but seeks to remove his word from the environment so they can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is, lust, without having any sense of guilt. Romans 1 verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See Romans 1 verses 21 to 31. Martin Luther. Miserable Christians, whose words and faith still depend on the interpretations of men and who expect clarification from them. This is frivolous and ungodly. The scriptures are common to all and are clear enough in respect to what is necessary for salvation and are also obscure enough for inquiring minds. Let us reject the word of man. Luther's works, volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 217. In vain does one fashion a logic of faith, a substitution brought about without regard for limit and measure. Luther's works, volume 31, Career of the Reformer, I, page 12. My advice has been that a young man avoid scholastic philosophy and theology like the very death of his soul. Luther's works, volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 258. The sophists have imposed tyranny and bondage upon our freedom to such a point that we must not resist that twice accursed Aristotle, but are compelled to submit. Shall we therefore be perpetually enslaved and never breathe in Christian liberty, nor sigh from out of this Babylon for our scriptures and our home? Luther's works, Volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 217. The sophists, nevertheless, rise proudly up, hold their ears, close their eyes, and turn away their heart just so that they may fill all ears with their human words, and alone may occupy the stage so that no one will bark against their assertion. The word of man is sacred and to be venerated, but God's word is handed over to whores. The meaning of sin is dependent on the arbitrary choice of the sophists. Luther's Works, Volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 216. I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt. Luther's Works, Volume 1, The Christian in Society, page 207. We do not become righteous by doing righteous deeds, but, having been made righteous, we do righteous deeds. Luther's Works, Volume 31, Career of the Reformer, I, page 12. In other words, only God is good, righteous. His righteousness imputed to man only by his faith in him. When man attempts to create a good person by creating a good environment for him to grow up in, all he has to work with and therefore actualize is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, justifying his self, that is his lusts before men, deceiving himself and all who listen to him, dying in his sins. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Father's authority requires faith. The child's carnal nature requires lust, which the world, sight, engenders. Herein lies the difference between traditional and transformational education, that is knowing from being told, that is the Father's authority, which deals with the soul belief-action dichotomy, and the experiment, that is knowing from sense experience, that is from lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, that is from the child's carnal nature which is stimulated by the world, stimulus response, theory practice. The land of the free and the home of the brave is negated as students, beaten down by the group, are pressured to abandon freedom of the conscience, that is individualism, under God for approval of the group, the facilitator of change with his insistence upon dialogue. When it comes to behavior is the serpent in the garden, liberating the children from the father's authority so he can be worshipped by the children, not caring about their soul, that is where they will spend eternity, damning their soul. Building relationship upon self-interest, upon lust is the hallmark of Marxism, requiring the person negate the father's authority in order not to have a guilty conscience, judging, condemning, casting others out, that is rejecting them because of their carnal thoughts and carnal actions.